Here we go. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, April the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're going to be taking a look at another lesson from the fifth Sunday of Easter, which is April the 28th, 2024. We had taken a look at another lesson on Monday, but today we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. It's entitled, Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. It begins with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, why did Philip go to this desert place? An angel of the Lord told him to go there, because the Lord was bringing his saving message also to the Gentiles, as well as to the Jews. When Philip arrived, he met an Ethiopian who was dealing the prophet and reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip explained the words to the individual on the road, after which the Ethiopian asked to be baptized. Philip agreed, and afterward was carried away by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a desert place. Verse 27 explains, And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, who was queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. So he was a very important Ethiopian. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he did believe much of the Old Testament. And he was returning to Ethiopia, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go over and join this chariot. So Philip went to him and heard him reading from Isaiah the prophet, and asked him, Do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian said to him, How can I, unless someone explains it to me? This is a point that I have been making on Law and Gospel for some weeks now, that those sent by God to members of the church, and the Ethiopian was a member of the church because he believed the Old Testament, that the task is not just to explain the Hebrew of the Old Testament or the Greek of the New Testament, but also, in our case, the English. Now, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me. And he invited Peter to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the Old Testament scripture that he was reading read like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before him, he, as a shearer, is silent, and he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was denied. Who can understand what was going on? And therefore, for his life was taken away from the earth. Wow. That's Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And that's what the Ethiopian was reading. But he was unaware of what it meant. So if we go to chapter 58, it begins with, who has believed what he has heard from us? That's Isaiah saying that. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, this obviously is talking about Jesus. He is the arm of the Lord. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. In him, no form was obvious that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So though Jesus was probably handsome, he looked like other human beings in a natural state. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That was how Jesus was regarded throughout his ministry by especially the leaders of Judaism. They despised him because he did not go along with their idea that they are saved by their good works. Their good works did not have the proper motivation in them. They desired to do good works, those in Judaism, thinking that they were therefore saved by them. But instead, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. when we saw him die on the cross, many people regarded him as stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, so that he was being punished by God himself. Of course, this is what he said when he said, God, you have forsaken me. He said that in the Aramaic, which really means, God, you have left me alone. Jesus was all alone when he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. That reminds us of Genesis 3:15. He was crushed by Satan in the sense of wounded. But in that wounded, he also crushed the head of Satan. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In verse 7 of Isaiah 53, the Ethiopian read, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before him he was silent. By oppression and by judgment, he was taken away. This is all in Isaiah. This is the cross of Christ. He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of the people. Now, this is Old Testament. So it is clear that God's word says that God the Father took his Son and put him on the cross for your sins. And the eunuch who was an Ethiopian heard what Philip had to say to him. About whom, I ask you, he asks, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? So the Ethiopian eunuch had not clarified that Isaiah was talking about the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who had come into the world, sent by the Father in order to what? In order to pay for the sins of the whole world. That's who Jesus was. And therefore, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. What was that good news? That good news was the gospel. We are not saved by our own works, but we're saved by the works of Jesus Christ, who died in our place. He was and is our substitute, paying for our sins with great pain. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here is water. And what prevents me from being baptized?" Holy baptism is the sacrament of salvation. And the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to receive this sacrament. Now we might ask the question, how can simple water do such great things? But it is not just the water. It's the Word of God that is in and with the water. That is what saves us. For as a person is baptized, they are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Without God's word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism. It is a life-giving water that is rich in grace and is a washing of the new birth. It is a life-giving water, holy baptism, and is even helpful to an infant, because the infant receives both the gift of the Holy Spirit and repentance, and the greatest gift that can come, the forgiveness of sins. Now, what does it mean when you receive the forgiveness of sins? It means that your sins have been taken away, that you are no longer held accountable for your sins. Well, who was accountable for your sin? Jesus was. That is what is meant, that he died on the cross. So you have a rebirth. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be reborn again. Nicodemus thought he meant he had to get into the mother's womb. But he did not. He was reborn again by becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, so that having been justified by his grace, we have become heirs of the body of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Speaking of these great things, baptism is huge. It is a holy sacrament whereby God comes to us and converts us. And the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Philip opened his mouth and, turning with the scripture, told him to be baptized. And as they were going along the road and came to water, he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water. Philip said to the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the man had been baptized. He had received the Holy Spirit, and the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, because he was rejoicing. And he found himself at Azotus, that is, Philip found himself there, because he has passed through and preached the gospel to all that came until he reached the town of Caesarea. Now the next chapter talks about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And remember how that happened? Paul was on the road to Damascus when the Holy Spirit came to him. He fell off his horse. He was blinded, but he was taken to a man in Damascus who was told to baptize Saul. And as he was baptized, he also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he had been chosen by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So Philip's ministry continued through the apostle Paul. And Paul told the good news of Jesus Christ to many people. That is the good news you and I hear in worship services even today. We do not have to believe the pastor. We believe his words, and his words come to us and are said to us by the Holy Spirit, so that we too, when we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we receive the same gifts that Philip gave to the Ethiopian eunuch and also to the Apostle Paul. These are the gifts of salvation. The Holy Spirit has come to us. And that is what the Sunday school children need to understand. They too have received the gift of baptism. It is a holy sacrament. It is a gift from God the Father through his Son to you. That is what KFUO is all about, to share with you the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus comes to any person, baptizes them through pastors, and through that baptism, people come to faith and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that baptism, that is a holy rite, a holy action by God the Father because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Remember what he asked the Father on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And in that baptism, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is why we are to support law and gospel, a proper understanding of it, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in that Holy Spirit, you receive that which the Holy Trinity had decided to distribute to all the people of the world. And in that distribution, they become believers in Jesus Christ. And when you become a believer in Jesus, you believe what he has given on the cross, namely the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the forgiveness of sins, so that when you die here on earth, you don't really die. You actually receive his gift, which comes to you by means of the sacrament of the Holy Spirit. It began in the New Testament, and you received it through the apostles, through pastors, through Sunday school teachers who teach you the Word of God. More on Law and Gospel on tomorrow's Law and Gospel at 9:30. God bless you with that gift.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.